We're going to continue to talk about faith in today's world, being the witness, being disciple makers in a culture where Christianity, it seems to be counter to the culture. If you want to think about it that way, I prefer to think that culture is counter to Christianity. All right. How many of y'all would describe yourselves as tolerant? Would you use that word to describe yourselves as tolerant? Many of us are hesitant in today's world because that word has been used in our culture and in our society to force the acceptance of things that maybe we don't like or don't believe in or maybe we might be against in society. And my question is, since I think we all tolerate some things in life, what is tolerance? How do we understand what tolerance is? And what's necessary for a person to be tolerant? Because we're going to talk about truth in a world of tolerance. It seems like today's world in general tolerates anything and everything. All right? And if you're like me, and maybe you are, maybe you are not, you grew up and there were some things that just weren't tolerated by society, by the community, by your parents, right? Maybe even your siblings didn't tolerate certain things. So tolerance is a necessary part of life. It exists and it's not always a bad thing. However, what are we tolerating? And how are we deciding what we tolerate? Now, I first was going to say that tolerance is totally dependent on boundaries. But then I got to thinking, I'm like, well, is it totally dependent on it? Right? Because it seems like today's world would describe the most tolerant in such a way where anything and everything goes, which insinuates that there's no boundaries, right? And I believe that if there's no boundaries in our morals and in our ethics and in our life, and we just want to be totally tolerant of all things, I believe eventually that will consume itself, right? Because the ones who are totally tolerant have issue with tolerating people who are not tolerant. So eventually it will turn on itself if it's no boundaries. Okay, just think, let that sink in for just a minute. Because hopefully it's going to come into play again later. Tolerance is an individual's capacity to endure opinions, beliefs, or practices they disagree with or dislike. It's just a general statement. And a person can choose to be tolerant based on their own ethical or philosophical principles. That's another fairly true statement. All right? The thing to notice in that is that we get to choose what we're tolerant of. Right? You and I, all of us, we choose what we tolerate. There are some things that I do that my wife tolerates and has been since she known me, that everyone else on the planet would never tolerate. And she tolerates it, I'm assuming, is because she loves me. I know she loves me, but I'm assuming that's why she tolerates it. She probably wouldn't tolerate a lot of things that I do if other people did it, she wouldn't tolerate it. You see what I'm saying? She's got some boundaries that dictate how much she's going to tolerate in that case. So without boundaries, tolerance becomes self-defeating if you don't have any boundaries. And why am I talking about this? Because the biggest problem that we have in our world today as far as being the witness and being Christian people, being people who believe that Jesus is the Christ and that Jesus is who he says he is and that there is salvation to be had and there is something to repent of and everything that we are and everything that we do as believers demands that we determine what we're going to tolerate or not. our witness. Our very witness includes some things that we're going to put up with for the sake of our witness. All right, so what are the boundaries? Or what is the boundary, I would say? And that's truth. We believe there's truth. We believe there's absolute truth. Right? And much of the world tries to dismiss truth. They'll say there is no truth. Or they'll say truth is relevant. Or truth is whatever you want it to be. Whatever your truth is for you is fine. And whatever truth is for me is fine. We'll tolerate each other. And what they're saying is there doesn't have to be any boundaries. My boundaries are my boundaries, but they don't have to be your boundaries. The Bible tells us that truth is the boundary that we use to determine what we're going to put up with or tolerate as we witness for Jesus, as we witness to people for the kingdom of God. In chapter 18 of John, this is where we can read about the last part of chapter 18 of John's gospel, is where Jesus has been arrested and he's been turned over to Pilate, the Roman government. And Pilate's question, we're going to find out, is what is truth, remember? Comes to Jesus and he says, what is truth? What is it? I don't personally really think he was waiting for the answer. I think he was saying that statement, making a statement as who can know truth? Or is there such a thing? And even if he could, if Jesus would have said, I am truth, which he did say that, I don't think he would have believed him. Just because a person does not believe the truth doesn't mean the truth doesn't exist. Right? So we're going to read a little bit. I just want to read a little bit. Verse 35, starting in chapter 18, verse 35. Let's go back up further than that. Let's go to 28, and I'll just read it all the way through so we can get the full picture. Verse 28 of chapter 18. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early, and they themselves did not enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Therefore, Pilate went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, if this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you. So, verse 31, Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews said to him, we are not permitted to put anyone to death. To fulfill the word of Jesus, which he spoke, signifying by what the king of death he was about to die. Verse 33, therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? He's asking that question because they said to Pilate, they turned him in and said, this guy's claiming he's a king, which is a crime against the Roman government. Because there's only one king. Right? And Jesus was not the king of the Romans. Never claimed to be the king of the Romans. But they've turned him in with this accusation because they knew that Pilate would have to deal with that if it were true. They're really turning him in. Why? Because he's saying he's the Son of God, which they believe is blasphemous, which they don't understand or they don't accept as truth. So they want him dealt with, but they are not allowed to do it because the Roman government did not give them that authority, so they had to make these false accusations so that maybe the Pilate would do this for them. They were so against the truth, they were willing to go to extremes to get rid of the truth. Verse 34, Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? Saying that to Pilate about the question, are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews? Right? He's like, why don't you talk to me about what you want to know and don't talk to me about what other people told you? If you want to have a conversation, verse 35, Pilate answers, I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest delivered you to me. What have you done? He's trying to find if he's guilty or not. He's trying to find out if he needs to be dealing with him. And in verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." I don't believe Pilate was expecting that answer, but that's the answer he got. Some truth laid down in front of him. Verse 37, "Therefore Pilate said to him, 'So you're a king.' And Jesus answered, 'You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify,'" and here it is, "'to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.'" Jesus came, he says, "I have come into the world to testify to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So here we are, Christians in this world, in this day and age, with this mission to go into the world and make disciples, preach the gospel to anyone who will hear for the glory of God. And what is the gospel? It's the good news. It's the truth of Jesus, the truth of his mission. It's the truth of his death, burial, and resurrection for the sakes of the sins of man, so that we could repent and be saved. That's the truth. It's the absolute truth, by the way. So if Jesus came to testify to the truth, and we're supposed to be like Jesus, then guess what we get to do? We get to testify to the truth. He doesn't just teach the truth. He does what? He embodies the truth. Check this out. Jesus, he doesn't just say the truth. He is the truth. You understand? He's not saying, "Here's what is true." He's saying, "I am true. What stands before you is truth." And if he is living in the believer, guess what? The truth is living in the believer. So if we're going to go into the world in the name of Jesus, then we're going into the world in the name of truth. So therefore, anything and all things that we decide to tolerate in our life must be tolerated with the boundaries of truth in place. Therefore, I would not choose and should not choose to tolerate anything that crosses the boundary of truth. That's the WWJD back in the 80s. Remember that? What would Jesus do? Well, what does the truth say? What would Jesus do? Everything that we do, every part of our, every thought, everything in our heart, everything that we go out in the world and do, everything we stay home and do, everything we do when no one's looking, needs to be weighed against the truth. Needs to be weighed against the boundaries. Right? The world will say, tolerate everything. The world says today that you can live however you want to live with no boundaries and still be saved by the blood of Christ. And that's not what the truth says, is it? It's not at all what the truth says. The truth says, if you want to be saved, if you want to accept what Jesus did on the cross, if you want to accept him as Lord and Savior, if you want to accept God as a holy God, creator of all man and all things, then you must surrender to that. You must repent of being a sinner. You must accept him as Lord and Savior. You must die to your sinful ways so you can live in his truth, which is living in Christ. So there's boundaries to tolerance, isn't it? You can't have your cake and eat it too. I have tried that. I fail every time. All there's left is a little bit of icing on the plate. The cake is gone once I've eaten it. What does it mean to testify? Testify indicates bearing witness to an unchanging reality. If you saw a vehicle fender bender in the intersection near your home, and you would go out and testify to what you saw, you would be telling someone what you saw and the way you saw it happen. You're just testifying to an unchanging reality, right? If you saw Alabama put the whooping on a team last night, then you're going to testify to what you saw, that it was bad. Right? You can't say it any other way because it's not going to change. The game's over. The points are on the board. We're not going to talk about last week, week before. We talk about this yesterday. You can only testify to what you actually see. Now, if you could testify to something other than what you saw, but that would be what? A false testimony, a lie, a false witness, which does not honor God. Jesus didn't just teach the truth, he is the truth. John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He claims his identity, who he is, to be truth, absolute truth. So if we're looking for how do we have faith in a world of tolerance, we must know truth. And truth must be alive and well in our lives. That's our boundaries, right? Because I'm fine. I'll tolerate what Christian folks are sitting in a church right now tolerating their preacher. A lot of them. They're all just sitting there. I was like, man, what time is this going to be done? They're tolerating it for whatever the reasons. They're tolerating it. They have it in their mind. Okay, I'm willing to tolerate this. I'm willing to do this for this reason or for that reason. Not everybody's tolerating the preacher. Y'all are highly engaged and you're excited. You're on the edge of your seat. You're listening. And if I said amen and let's go home, y'all be like, ah, come on, man, give us a little more. That's how you guys are, I know. Here's what we need to recognize in today's world. And I think y'all know this. I just want to put it out there so we can have it on our minds. The world, society, what the world offers, what the world calls for, and sometimes demands, is that the world wants truth to bend to feelings. The world wants truth to adjust to emotions, right? And Jesus shows us that truth is rooted in his character, right? God doesn't change. Jesus is who he is. What he says is what he says. You can't change that. Now we do really good at changing. We change what we think he means a lot. Sometimes we do really good at changing how we should apply what he said. Maybe that's not always wrong, but maybe it's a little bit of manipulation on our part because we're not willing to tolerate the truth in our life because it hurts or it's no fun, right? Or it means we have to sacrifice and give up. It means we have to look at ourselves and say, okay, this ain't right. So we can't tolerate that truth. So we try to dismiss that or change that. And you can't do it. You got to have that boundary. So we anchor our beliefs and our decisions in Jesus because we don't want to shift our faith. We don't want to shift our foundation according to the cultural norms. Because remember last week we talked about how the sand keeps shifting a lot. The sand moves, what we're standing on moves. And it doesn't always move in accordance to the truth. So we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared to be faithful and stand firm in who we are in love, right? And that's what Paul said, everything you do, do it in love. Stand firm in the faith, but do it in love. You can disagree and you don't have to tolerate, but you still have to love people. I put it, I don't know if y'all saw it, but I put it on my social media sometime yesterday or the day before. I shared it with somebody else. It says, some of y'all would have said, we should just pray for Goliath. It's tolerance outside of the boundaries is what that is. Because what was the giant doing? He was attacking God's people and God's character. Remember, David showed up with his little sling and his handful of rocks, and he's like, why y'all? What? And, oh, yeah, he had some cheese, too, for the brothers. Remember that? He's up there running errands. And he's like, what are y'all doing hiding behind all these rocks? Like we're scared of something. And he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. Remember that? And he stood up there and killed the dude. Eliminated that which offended God. He was not willing to tolerate what was going on. Why? Because it flew in the face of what is true about who God was at that time and who they were at that time. So at some point, there's no tolerance because of truth, because of your boundaries. Now, did I flip it already? So in chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 32, you don't have to turn there. He just basically says, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. You've heard that before. It's the truth that sets you free. You ever, your parents ever tell you that when you get in trouble as a kid? Just fess up, it'll set you free. I got a whooping every time. How am I free? They're like, you know that's a trick. But when Jesus says that it is a truth. There's no trick there. There's no trick there. Confession will set you free. Repentance will always set you free. When you get in line with Jesus, when you allow Jesus to come in and completely take over and get rid of that which offends God, you will certainly be free. And sometimes that's a harsh and difficult transition. Is that the word you use? Transformation. Yeah. You understand? You're being transformed from the sinner to that which is holy because of Jesus and his holiness. You see? That's where the freedom is. Truth liberates us from sin and confusion. You ever think about it that way? I mean, everybody says truth liberates us from sin, and we all say amen, praise the Lord, and we should. But that confusion part, I don't think about that as much as I should probably. You know what confusion does? Confuses you. Confusion. I thought, and maybe you did, and I didn't hear it, but I thought that Conrad was going to talk about where Romans, I think it's Romans 12, says being the transformation of your mind. The transformation of your mind, right? We, in other words, if you're going to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and you're going to be the believer that Jesus died for you to be, not only is your heart being transformed, not only is your heart's desire being transformed, but your mind. You're going to change what your desires are in your mind, what I want, what I think, how I think, because you have different information, because you have truth, you have knowledge of truth. See, no one's heart is going to be surrendered to Jesus until they hear about Jesus. How can anyone be saved if no one goes to preach? And why are we preaching if it's nothing to do with your mind? Right? So we need to, when we're in sin and when we're living in this let's tolerate everything world, that's confusion, which is one of Satan's most familiar weapons against us is to try to confuse the mind. Just that little bit of uncertainty will help us jump into sin. Ask Eve. Just ask her. She'll tell you. It sounded so good what he was saying. The lie was so good it confused me to where I thought I wanted something that I didn't really want. And it was too late when I said, okay, I want it. And the world... this world that we live in, your neighbors, my neighbors, our neighbors, this community, all around the world, the agenda is to confuse you away from Jesus, the truth. By telling you that truth doesn't exist. By trying to convince you that you can have your own truth. Okay, since you're so stuck on having truth, look, you can have your own truth and I'll have my truth and it'll be all right. And we'll just tolerate one another. Until you decide that you're not going to do that. Until you decide you're not going to play the game with them. Until you decide that you're going to stand in what is true, Jesus. Which that boundary tells you that there are some things you cannot tolerate. You should not tolerate. And then suddenly the world doesn't want to tolerate you. Which is what Jesus said, that they will hate you because they hate me. They won't tolerate you because they don't tolerate me. Which is why these people were taking Jesus to Pilate to have him killed because they didn't want to tolerate him. They're not going to tolerate him walking around saying the things he was saying because it interfered with their truth. It interfered with what they had going. It interfered with the kingdoms that they had built for themselves. Right? And Pilate's having trouble here because he is under orders from the king, Caesar, saying to him, you're slaughtering too many people. You need to back it off a little bit. So don't stop killing so many people. And if you don't stop, if you don't keep getting carried away, then I'm going to call you back and you're going to lose your job. That was what was going on with Caesar. So when Jesus comes along and the crowd, the mob is trying to have him killed, he's in a real dilemma. Aside from the fact that he doesn't even care what the truth is, he's worried about his own job and he's worried about the crowd that's rising up, that's becoming a problem that he's supposed to be governing. It's like, how am I supposed to do my job if they told me not to do my job? So he pretends like he's looking for the truth when he's not. He's just looking for a way out of this sticky situation. Because he says, he said it two or three times. And if you read the whole account, he said it two or three times when he interviewed Jesus, when he interrogated Jesus. He's like, I can't find anything wrong with this guy. His own wife said it. His wife was like, you need to get away from him because I had a dream, remember? Don't mess with him. I had a dream. In 1983, a man was wrongly imprisoned for 37 years. Can you imagine that? Going to prison for something you didn't do? Like literally, there's a lot of people in prison that say they didn't do it. 98% of them. There's some that are there and they didn't do it. And it was 37 years later, DNA comes around. They find out he didn't do it. Truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Some people think that the truth restricts freedom. Right? When I was a young believer, when I first got saved, it was challenging for me. It was challenging for me before I got saved. Because I would argue with God about getting saved because I didn't want to stop living the way I was living. I didn't want to be a churchgoer. I didn't want to be one of them Christians because they ain't out here having fun with me when I'm having fun. And God's the whole time going, exactly. I don't want them out. I don't want you out there doing them things. But it's not until you step into the truth genuinely that you actually understand what freedom is all about. Until you understand what's true, you will feel restricted. Jesus teaches us that this truth, him, sets us free from sin, guilt, and confusion. And the more we learn that, the more we step into that, the more we surrender to that, the more we realize that everything in this world is not what it's about. So when the world is attacking us, for being intolerant, in their words, then we can stand firm knowing that we don't have to prove anything to anybody but God. People's opinions about us aren't as important as God's opinion about us. So you're going to be called intolerant. You're going to be called all the names that we're being called for just for being believers. And I feel like 90% of the people that are aggressively attacking the Christians for being intolerant have never discussed it any of it with any Christian anywhere. They just make assumptions about what we believe because we say, thus saith the Lord this and thus saith the Lord that. When all they have to do is talk to us and they'll realize that we love everybody. Even in their sin. Because God loved us in our sin. God tolerated us until we surrendered, remember? Right? If anybody can show us what real tolerance looks like, it should be God. Wouldn't you think? Come with us on Wednesday. We're studying in 2 Kings. God's been tolerating them people for 700 years. 1 and 2 Kings. So yeah, tolerance is there. Tolerance is important. But it has to have some boundaries, doesn't it? It has to have boundaries. True freedom isn't doing whatever I want. It's living in alignment with God's design. So biblical truth is the path to real life, right? You want to live real life, the real life? Live it the way Jesus taught us to live it. Live it in his truth. Live it in him. Right? And I'm with y'all. I'm just like, you know what? Sometimes being a Christian don't allow me to do what I want to do. If we're being honest, we felt that way before. And maybe we'll feel that way again one day. It's the battle that we're trying to grow out of, isn't it? And praise the Lord, he tolerates us while we fight them battles in our heart. Because God doesn't necessarily want certain things in our life. He doesn't necessarily want certain attitudes or certain desires in our heart. But because we've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and we've committed ourselves to be his, and we study our Bible and we pray consistently and always, and we worship him and we do our best to serve him with his help, he will tolerate our shortcomings until we can grow out of them, until he gets us to let go of them, you see. So you want to talk about tolerance in today's world, let's talk about God's tolerance. And let's ask God to help us be tolerant the way he's tolerant. Because if we can be tolerant the way he's tolerant, then we can love people the way he loves people. And we won't compromise who we are. And we can stand in truth in this world that does not want truth to exist. Takes a lot of courage, doesn't it? Takes some courage. It takes some courage to say, I'm a believer. I'm a Jesus follower. It takes some courage to say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm not going to be an offender of God. It takes courage to stand in our community, sometimes, many times, by ourselves, and say, yes, I am the Christian. And I think that certain behaviors offend God. It takes courage to say, why don't you come to church or come to Bible study or come to my house? I'll cook you up some fried bologna and egg sandwich and we'll talk about Jesus. Whatever works, but it takes courage to even do that because it relies on standing in the truth and also tolerating the reaction that you get from the unbelievers. How are we going to preach the gospel? How are we going to go into the world like Jesus did when he came into the world in verse 37, he came into the world to testify to the truth. If we're going to be like him, then that's what we're here to do. How are we going to do that if we don't go to people that need to hear it? That God wants to hear it. And be firm and stand in, this is what's true and this is what I believe. I'm not moving from it. Love you. What do you think? And then just stand back and be ready. Right? That's how we stand in the truth. That's how in today's world we live in truth in a world of tolerance. And you can guarantee that they're not going to agree when you're being tolerant, as God would be tolerant, and only as God would be tolerant. The world's not going to agree that you're being tolerant. They're just not. Because that's not their definition of tolerant. Their tolerance is, I want to go to heaven, but I want to live in sin too. I want to be with God, and I want to live. Many of those people don't even believe that God is real, but they get mad when you're saying you're not going to heaven because you're sinful, because you won't repent. Like, why do you? If you don't believe God is real, then why do you care? You see. So. Just know that there's something in their heart that they're dealing with, that God is dealing with. In verse 38, he says this, Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no guilt in him. Which tells me he's not looking for the truth. He's looking for a way out. But what is truth, y'all? What is it? What's your answer? Take this home with you, and you sit down in the evening, and you say to yourself, okay, what is truth? I already gave you the answer. But I want you to ask God if you understand it, what that means. I said, Jesus says, I am the truth, the life, and the way. If Jesus is the truth, then let's go home and let's ask God, help me to fully understand what that means. Help me to fully understand what it means for me to be totally surrendered to that fact. That's an absolute truth. Jesus and everything that he is and everything that he is for us and with everything that Colossians teaches us about Jesus is the truth. And standing in that truth always comes at some cost. Right? It's going to be some cost in being a believer, some cost in being a Christian man or woman in this world. It's not a reason to run away from it, right? Because if somebody says to me, "Oh, I didn't know it was going to cost me anything, I'm out of here," then their faith wasn't genuine to start with, was it? They're still confused. You guys know about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a man who was called to preach and teach the word of God. And he stood against the Nazis in a lot of different ways. And he ended up being hanged for that. And all he ever did was stand firm in the truth about Jesus. He stood firm in the middle of the darkest times in his country, and he was killed for it. It cost him something. And I look at him, I look at people like him, many people like him, and I say, that's a high cost. But the exchange is well worth it, if you think about it. Because if you don't stand in the truth and you don't preach the truth and if you don't live a witness that preaches the truth in this world, because if you say you're a Christian and I'm surrendered to Jesus as my Lord and Savior and your testimony doesn't testify to the truth, then that cost is going to be way greater than any earthly cost. Because Jesus described it one time as saying, I will come and I will say to some, I never knew you. I don't know who you are. The temptation is always to compromise truth for safety, popularity, or comfort. That's the temptation, isn't it? I think safety is one of the biggest ones. Fear, anxiety, right? Anxiety is a popular word these days. You think about today's society, there's a lot of people that have really serious anxiety issues about a lot of things, almost to the point where they're not even functional in the world. They can't even talk to other people. They're afraid of every little thing. And I blame that on my generation because we didn't teach the truth oftentimes. We didn't teach them how to be strong men and women in the world. We didn't teach them that there's not as much to be afraid of when you're standing in the truth. I think social media and technology aids in our desire to be popular. Right? And it changes the motives of our hearts at times. And I mean, in general, we as a people in the world. Are we preaching the gospel so that people hit the like button? Are we preaching the gospel so people know Jesus and like him and love him and surrender to him? What are we doing? Are we being a Christian so that our family thinks we got it together? Are we saying we're living in the truth, but not really, because nobody sees what we don't do in public? Are we standing firm in the truth unless we get uncomfortable? What if we as a congregation knew that the Lord put this task on all of us together as a family, as a church, to go into this community in a certain way, in a certain place? And all of us were concerned about it because it means we have to do something we've never done before. It means we have to talk to people we've never seen before. It means we have to say things to people that we know they probably won't receive.
not comfortable.
What's comfortable is if everybody would just show up here and sit next to us, because this is our home. And we all have our assigned seats. And we know what's going to happen here. And if they don't like it, they have the right to leave, right? So that makes it comfortable for us. When we go out there, we're going into their space. We're going into their world. And we're saying, this is true. And this truth loves you. And this truth wants you to love him. And that is a risky thing to do. That is a hard thing to do. That is a challenging thing to do. That's why I praise the Lord when Jesus said to go into the world and make disciples. He said, I'll go with you wherever you go. Everywhere you go, I'll go with you as long as you're doing this. And every time churches get into this mode, it's like, what does God want us to do? He wants you to go tell people about Jesus. He said, it can't be any more clear. And the reason we keep asking that question, as congregations all around the world keep asking, what do we do, what do we do? It's because they don't want to do what Jesus said to do. It's not comfortable. It makes them uncomfortable. It makes them nervous. It makes them sweat. It makes people not like them. They get persecuted. So everybody, we know what to do. We just need the courage to go do it. We need the strength to go do it. God promised that we would have it. So listen. Don't water down your witness. You ever heard that before? Do not water down your witness. We've heard about watering down the gospel. We've heard about watered down preaching, sugarcoating, whatever you want to call it. I'm telling you, because y'all telling the preacher all the time, don't sugarcoat it, just give it to them. I'm telling you the same thing. Get out there and be the truth in a tolerant world. Be Jesus with skin on. And do it firmly with love. Do it confidently with love. Because you never know. You never know what God will do with that in a person's heart. Maybe they'll accept Jesus. Maybe they won't. Maybe you'll send them away thinking about it. Or maybe they'll go away cursing you. Maybe they might even attack you in some way, form, or fashion. But you will be honoring God if you put that witness out there as the truth, the way Jesus brought it. Jesus brought it full on, didn't he? He had no other way to bring it. He is the truth. And if Jesus is living in us, then how can we not be truth in this world? Love people enough to share the truth. That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to challenge myself too, by the way. Even when it's not the popular thing to do. All right, here it is, right here. I know y'all got amens and hallelujahs, but you're kind of like saving it for something. This is I'm saying to y'all, but I'm saying this to the world, whoever would ever hear it. Truth is not what we feel. It's who Jesus is. And anybody who's been through dark times or heavy times or troubling times understands that a little bit. Because those times, you don't feel like what you've read in the Bible about Jesus. Those are times when you don't feel like it's like, oh, I don't know, this don't feel good. And your emotions are taking over. And hopefully the Bible is in your mind and somewhere in your heart. And the Spirit of God continues to help you hold on to that truth. I can't see God. I don't feel God. This is bad. However, he said he wouldn't leave me, so I'm just going to stand firm in that truth. It's not about winning arguments. Not truth isn't about winning arguments. It's about pointing people to Jesus. You don't have to prove God. God don't need any of us to prove his existence. You don't have any of us to prove that Jesus is who he is. Just live your life as if you believe that he is the truth. That's it. You don't have to win nothing. You don't have to prove nothing. In a world that treats truth as a negotiable, in other words, we can make it whatever we want, me and you have to live courageously in the absolute truth of Jesus. Because that's the world we live in. We don't get to pick what the culture's like. Right? We don't get to pick. Well, how come we can't live where everybody knows Jesus and everybody goes to church? Wouldn't that be nice? Me and other preachers sometimes talk about that kind of stuff. Not in a lamenting type of way, but we're just like, man, it would be nice if more people would go to church. You know, back in the day when everybody went to church and a few people wouldn't. And every time we end these conversations, it's like, well, that's how come we have a job. That's how come we have a calling. That's how come we have an assignment, us preachers. If everybody was saved and everybody loved God, there wouldn't be no need for preachers. There wouldn't be no need for the witness, right? And you guys know as well as I do that the Bible teaches us that the road is narrow that leads to salvation. And the Bible teaches us that the road that leads to destruction is wide, and many take it. Many take it. So why would we be surprised when we go into the world and present truth by the way we live for Christ, by the way we live our lives in those boundaries of truth? Why would we be surprised when only a few respond in a positive way? Right? I don't know how many people live around here. A lot. Way more than used to, right? We talk about that a lot. If we were just able to witness to as many as we can witness to in this community, and then we got 1/3 of 1% of the population of the people that we witness to, we wouldn't be able to hold the people in this building if they would respond for Christ. 1/3 is a large number, in my opinion, right? Of the population. 1/3 of 1% is a large number of the population. I'm just saying 1/3 of 1% of the people that we would impact, that we would witness to, not the whole population. We're not big enough to go talk to every person that lives around us. There's way too many people. Way too many people. Bring the witness to the person that's in front of you. Put the truth in front of them everywhere you go. Whoever that is. Sometimes that's your spouse. Sometimes that's your church folks, your church family. Sometimes it's a stranger in public. If we are the bride of Christ, if we have Christ living in us, the body of Christ, then we are the truth. He is the truth in us. Make sense? And there's no compromise in that. So we're going to tolerate the way God tolerates in this world, but we're not going to be tolerant as the world dictates, because we have a boundary, and that's the truth. I love you, and the Lord loves you. We're going to sing together. We'll praise the Lord for that truth, because I'm going to tell y'all something. If we don't have boundaries, we will destroy ourselves. It's just who we are. Let's stand together and sing. If you have a decision to make, today's the day to do it.